Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalegi. My next guest is one of television's most iconic stars. She played one of those roles that is instantly recognized by simply saying the character's name, Jeannie. I Dream of Jeannie continues to delight and entertain audiences to this day. She can be seen in the premiere episode of the new season of Oprah, Where Are They Now? It is quite a pleasure to say hello to Barbara Eden. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ed. I'm really happy to be there.
It is a thrill to have you on. Now, of course, you are one of the most iconic stars in history. And it's funny how I grew up watching I Dream of Jeannie. And now I have a 13-year-old son. He grew up watching I Dream of Jeannie. That's got to be quite a feeling to be a part of a project that became so generational, where it's still such an important fiber and fabric of American pop culture.
Well, it's amazing to me that it's still on the air. And I'm really happy that it's still on the air. Quite often I have a show called On the Magic Carpet with mm-hmm. Barbara Eden, and Bill Harris and I travel, and we have film clips, and he talks, and I talk, and we have a Q&A. And what has amazed me are the families that come to see our little show because of Jeannie, but then they learn, of course, about the rest of the things I've done, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'll have a grandmother, parents, their children, great-grandchildren. I mean,
isn't that amazing?
The whole family. Yes, and I think it gives me a really warm and fuzzy feeling. I like it.
I would imagine so. And it's funny how, you know, everybody remembers you as Jeannie, but there are things that I'll be watching on TV and it's like, wait a minute, there's Barbara Eden. The other night I'm watching an episode of the Andy Griffith Show and it's like, wait a minute, there's Barbara Eden. And correct me if I'm wrong on this one. About 2 weeks ago, I'm up late at night and I'm watching Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter? And I could have sworn that I saw you in that as well. Am I wrong?
You know, you're right.
See?
I'm surprised you recognized me. That was before I got started, and I wasn't even under contract at Fox at that time.
Wow.
And I think I had three lines with Tony Randall.
See, it goes to show you either I'm incredibly perceptive when I watch TV, or I was quite suffering from insomnia that night because I was just tuned in. My Barbara Eden radar remains razor sharp. Now, tell us how the process went. How did you end up being cast in the role of Jeannie?
Well, at the time, I was a working actress. I was doing a lot of work, and I had been under contract at Fox,
mm-hmm.
and they closed the studio. So I was then working at all the other studios doing feature films. And I got a phone call from my agent, and he sent me a script to read. And I read it, and I thought, this is familiar, because I had been reading in Variety and the Reporter, our trade magazine,
mm-hmm.
about this particular part and the fact that they were testing all these gorgeous brunettes, but you know, the very tall beauty contest kind of girls. And I thought, well, that's not for me. They're not going to look for a short blonde for this part. And I read the script, and Wilt Melnick was my agent, and he said, well, did you like it? And I said, I love it. But do they know what I look like?
Yeah.
And he said, yes, because they've made us an offer for the part.
Wow.
So I went. I met Sidney Sheldon, who was the creator mm-hmm. and writer, at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I had tea with him. And that's how I got the part.
That's amazing. And so you were cast first, I would imagine, and then they went to cast the role of Tony Nelson, Larry Hagman. And
right.
One of the reasons why the show was so iconic is because the chemistry on screen. It either works or it doesn't in any series. But you, Larry Hagman, Bill Daly, tell me about the dynamic working the three of you. And tell me how your relationship continued on, your friendship with Larry Hagman, after the series ended.
First of all, I have to tell you, I think we were very lucky that we found each other. We were on the same wavelength acting-wise.
Mm-hmm.
We just understood each other immediately. The rhythms were right, the honesty, the truth in what we were saying. I loved working with Larry. In fact, later I toured with him in Love Letters, and I appeared live with him many times, actually, after Jeannie. This is rare. It's rare when you find an actor that you are so compatible with on stage.
And when it feels right and you're doing the work and the project itself and you just know you're in that zone and that it, and you know
that
the work you're doing is special work at that time. And that must be such an incredible feeling.
It was. It was. Well, you know, we think we're doing special work a lot of times, but we don't know that until 40 years later.
The other thing I wanted to mention, and I seem to remember this, was there an issue, and I think there was, with you showing your, for lack of a better term, belly button on the air? The Jeannie costume, if I'm not mistaken, had to cover your belly button because, again, it was 1965, and boy, how times have changed.
Yes, they have. But the funny thing was, even then, the girls were showing their belly buttons on television.
Yes.
But they decided Jeannie wouldn't. George Slaughter, who was producing Laugh-In, wanted to premiere my navel.
Wow.
And before that, NBC and Columbia Studios didn't even know I had one. They didn't even care. But the minute he asked, it became a cause celeb, and it got kind of funny.
That's amazing. You know, I always love asking this question because you look at someone who's successful in show business and you wonder who were their influences as they were growing up. So who were your biggest show business influences as you were coming up and into the industry?
Oh, I had so many. I had so many.
Is there one that jumps out?
Well, I always adored Vivian Leigh, her work. I thought she could do just about anything, you know. I worked with so many that were wonderful. I worked with Lucille Ball. In fact, that was before I signed at Fox, and at the time, she was going to sign me to a contract.
Really?
Because I appeared on her show, and she liked my comedy timing, which I was so thrilled that she did. But while I was on her show, I got the phone call that Fox had picked up my option.
That had to be such an incredible feeling, because at that point, that's got to be around 1957, 58, and Lucy was the penultimate when it came to television at that time. And for her to recognize your talent and your timing as a young actress in Hollywood, that must have been so reaffirming, where you're thinking, you know what, I chose the right path.
I don't know that I was thinking that, but I was... you know what I was thinking on when I was doing the show? It was one of her last ones, actually. And I kept thinking, I am on I Love Lucy's set. I'm here.
Yeah.
You know? I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
I could imagine.
She was wonderful to me.
Really?
Lovely.
Yeah. And that story follows her around Hollywood as just a very giving woman for such a star that she was. She was also just, you know, such a relatable person. Your memoir, I read about a year ago, actually. It's an extremely enjoyable read, Jeannie Out of the Bottle. That is a very interesting, a great read.
Well, I'm very happy that it was done and that I did it. It was painful to do a book like that, but it was. I'm very happy because people like it, and I like to hear that people like it.
Well, that's terrific. Well, as always, she has been an icon in Hollywood. She handles herself always with dignity and with class. And People Magazine actually has named her one of America's 200 greatest pop icons of the 20th century. Again, Oprah, Where Are They Now? With Barbara premieres Saturday, August 13th, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on OWN. Barbara Eden, thank you so very much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Well, thank you. It was nice talking to you.
You have a great day. Take care.
You too.
Well, there she goes. She is one of America's most iconic television stars. And it's true. It's one of those characters, Jeannie, and you know exactly who you're talking about. And the book is a tremendous read. She talks all about her life. She talks about some great stuff. She talks about some painful stuff. And that's what she's going to be talking about on the Oprah Show, Where Are They Now? And they were a little reticent to talk about some of the stuff that's going to be in the interview because this is a preview for the interview. And, of course, you don't want to spoil the ending of the movie. So you may want to pay attention to that show because it is a very interesting watch. Again, Oprah, where are they now? Now we need to get Oprah on the show. You know what? We had Barbara Eden. But you know what? It's just the next logical step. We need Oprah on the show. So somebody here, start making some phone calls. Anyway, stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. When Jim proposed to Judy, he gave her a very expensive engagement ring. But a few months later, Judy broke off the engagement. Since Jim spent so much money on the ring, he asked for it back, but Judy refused. She said it was a gift, and Jim had no legal right to take it away from her. So can Judy keep the ring? The Final Verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Engagement gifts are given with the expectation that marriage will take place. Since Judy broke off the engagement, she must return the ring or Jim can go to court to recover it. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here taking your child in for their shots. Maybe you're getting a flu shot. Maybe you're afraid of needles. Or maybe you're just putting off getting a booster shot because you think it's going to hurt. What to do? Trick the brain. Here's the biological science of it. Well, the truth, shots hurt. But there are ways to minimize the pain. Now, according to a recent study in the Journal of Pain and Symptom Management, before you're stuck with a needle, ask the nurse to apply firm pressure to the injection site for about 10 seconds. The shot will hurt about one-third less. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, it has to do with competing brain pathways. The pinch pressure tricks the brain and it sort of misses the sharp signal. Or maybe it's just as simple as the pinch hurts more than the shot. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.